It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello, everybody.
And this week, Colin joins us not in studio and not on the phone either. You can tell that the audio's a little bit clearer, but he's not in the room. What he is he's at his palatial estate on the east side of town, but we're using the Skype to Skype function inside Skype. And if you kids aren't familiar with what Skype is, well, you need to get hipped to what Skype is, because it's like there's these pieces of equipment inside real, no kidding around, radio stations called hot boxes and Marty link-ups and stuff. Well, this Skype does pretty much everything that those pieces of equipment do, and those pieces of equipment are thousands of dollars, and this Skype is $15 for a year to call any phone in the U.S. and Canada, and it's free to go Skype to Skype. Isn't that right, Colin?
That is right.
And, you know, it sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them, but I haven't been paid. In fact, I paid them. I paid them, essentially, to be doing this commercial. I paid them my $15, and I'm doing this commercial now for Skype on the Big Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Indeed you are. Go.
Witty comeback there, pal. Witty comeback.
Well, it's too late for wit.
Yeah. So speaking of fizzleandpop.com, which of course is your blog home on the internet, you've been doing some stuffs recently, upgrading your computer so you can do some stuffs for your readers. Why don't you explain what that's all about?
Well, the stuffs that I plan on doing is screen capturing movies of when I work in Photoshop or when I'm drawing with the tablet for drawings for whatever, or just doing specific tutorials of things that people would like to see how it's done. And that's the goal, but having some problems still, so there's a bit to work out on it.
So when you actually solicited comments for people to say, what movies do you want to see from Colin? And they all said things that you're not going to be doing. They didn't quite understand the directive. So why don't you just right here and now, why don't you clear up the directive for those people that might comment and want to see a movie from Colin?
Okay, well, if anybody would have something specific they'd like to see me draw, or a specific question about Photoshop that I can answer with a short tutorial movie, then that is what I'd like to do.
You don't want to be making feature films or do like a student film project here. Is that what's going on?
Not yet, although I have had some ideas for various other things, you know, like porn.
Well, that's where the monies are, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Well...
I don't know. Well, anyway, we're not going to be talking about Colin making internet porn today. No, what we're going to talk about is the 10 most dangerous playthings of all time. And this isn't according to you or I. This is according to Radar Magazine. Colin actually sent me this about a month and a half ago, and the list can be found on radarmagazine.com. And it's a list of actually 11 toys, and some of them I'm familiar with, and all of them, seriously, I don't know how they were ever made, but that's what we're going to be talking about. And let's just jump right into it.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
One of the things I left off of the list that I gave you is their honorable mention, essentially the 11th most dangerous toy of all time. It's the Manly Toys Disco Light, which consists of a black ball with a light bulb inside a colored plastic inside of a... Well, yeah, it's a black ball with a light bulb inside and colored plastic windows. And then there's this base with a motor, and the ball spins and the lights go batshit. And that's pretty much it. And I remember a few years back that your kid Justin wanted one of those, and I pointed you in the right direction of how to get a cheap one. Was that... Am I remembering right?
Yeah. Yeah, basically, I wound up buying it at Spencer's, I believe.
Yeah, and these were also things you could get at, like, Chuck E. Cheese or Dave & Buster's.
And I think that's specifically what they say, is that's the one that is having problems.
The lower-end cheap? Well, yeah, because essentially, apparently what happens is if you use this little ball of hate for too long, the light bulb heats up, the plastic melts, and it catches shit on fire, and then you're essentially fucked. And so
Disco Inferno.
Essentially, exactly. I guess the moral of the story is don't leave it on for so long.
Or get your little sister to drop it and bust the light bulb. That'll also...
Oh, is that what happened to Justin?
Yeah.
Jordan busted it. Well, you know what? Jordan, she didn't know she was doing it, but she was saving your whole family from a fiery, fiery death.
She probably did.
It was probably the first time in her life where her mischief saved you people.
Yep. As far as I know.
And it might not be the last, but coming in at number 10, and this was on the list that I gave you, the Fisher-Price Power Wheels motorcycle. And I guarantee that when I was a kid, any one of the pow, pow, power wheels, pow, pow, power wheels, power wheels, power makes it go, would have been a dream come true for me, because they were like the coolest things, but so unattainable. Did you have a power wheel?
Well, see, that's where our age gap comes in, because I don't remember power wheels being marketed when I was a kid. So
yeah, you might have just missed the power wheel phenomenon.
I think I did.
But
I think I vaguely remember like these big bulky Jeep things, but
Yeah, well, that was pretty much...
But nothing like this motorcycle.
Yeah, that was pretty much what they were. But and seriously, had the motorcycle version of the Power Wheels been available when I was a kid, it's probably the only thing I would have thought about for at least a week. I mean, you know, I had an attention span of a kid, but still, the Power Wheels motorcycle, how can you not be cool? You're like Fonzie, you're on a motorcycle, and it's a Power Wheels. But apparently, the Power Wheels motorcycle had a problem, and it led to its recall in the year 2000. The throttle, if gunned, might stick. And while that seems funny now, it just seems funny. I can't think of anything funnier than some kid just screaming down the street. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have.
Number 9, one that I'm not terribly familiar with. It's the Battlestar Galactica missile launcher. I'm not at all familiar with it. I only watched Battlestar Galactica like one time. But here's where our age gap might come in handy, because you might know more about it than I do.
Oh, yes.
So why don't you tell the kids your thoughts on the Battlestar Galactica missile launcher?
I loved it. I had one. Actually, I had one of the Cylon ships and one of the Vipers. And
you're not dead?
No, and I hadn't killed any of my friends with it either. We actually managed to not do something deadly with a deadly toy. It was...
Underachiever.
Well, like, eh. But anyway, no, it was a lot of fun. You'd set things up, you'd shoot them down. It was a blast. And then the other ones came out, and I wound up getting one of those later, and it just wasn't the same, because you push the little button, and the missile just pops out like a half inch, and then locks in place, and you have to push it back in. And it was totally retarded. But the original one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and way more deadly.
So? It was fun.
So?
Hey, nobody I knew died from it, okay?
And that's all that matters, right? It doesn't. Those other deaths, you don't care who they are. They don't matter
like,
to
what,
you.
One?
Human life is cheap to Colin Burton.
Well, it depends.
Moving quickly on to number 8, however, and I seriously don't know how this one is ranked so low, or how it didn't make number 1, or even how it was ever even marketed. It's the Johnny Reb Cannon, a 30-inch authentic Civil War cannon replica that fired hard plastic cannonballs via a spring-load mechanism. And this was the only one of the toys from hell that Radar Magazine was so gracious to provide a TV commercial for. And once you watch it, the only thing I can say about that is, oh, holy crap. You remember, you watched the commercial the same as I did, right?
Right, right.
The commercial was from 1961, had a bunch of kids dressed in Civil War garb doing a battle reenactment with their Johnny Rebs, and the whole commercial is just so prior to the Civil Rights Movement that it's hard to watch, but at the same time, you just can't turn away. And the whole thing ends with, every boy wants a Remco toy, and there's an afterthought, and so do girls. And the visual at that point is of a poor, idealistic Union soldier boy with a wrapped-up head injury, likely courtesy of the good old Johnny Reb, and he's being comforted by a young girl dressed as a Civil War-era field nurse. It's so wrong, it's right. And it's just a piece of Americana that takes us back to the days when we were so backward and we didn't even know it.
Yeah, and I can't imagine this was marketed too far out of the South. What do you think?
I don't know. You know, when I was like 9, I probably would have loved to have one. Because not only did it come with the cannonballs and a ramrod, it came with a Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, I had a Confederate flag that my grandparents brought me back from Gettysburg when they visited there. And I had it up in my room for years, even into high school, and I didn't think anything of it. I was very big into the Civil War and the history of it. I didn't see it as a sign of racism and oppression until a couple of friends of mine from the track team came over. And we were going to play some video games, and they just both happened to be black. I didn't think anything of it. One of them saw the Confederate flag and turned to me and said, oh, I see what you're all about, stringing up the brothers. And I was gobsmacked. I didn't know what to say.
Oh, man.
I was like, no. But imagine that, going over to a friend's house and here's a big symbol of oppression. Right?
Yeah, that's...
That's
awesome.
I didn't even give it a second thought up until that point. And it was... But you're right. It probably wasn't marketed outside of the original Confederate States. But it probably sold very well in the original Confederate States.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it looks like fun. And this made me think, you know, I wondered if... I love shooting at things, but you remember Levine's? Levine's.
Levine. We called it Levine's. It may have been Levine's, but yes, we loved that place. We'd go and blow all. Ask my sister about that. She'll tell you everything she ever bought, blowing our allowance money at Levine's.
Well, one thing I bought was a Star Trek. It wasn't the Bird of Prey. It was one of the Klingon ships. But you'd load in these little discs that were thick, big, kind of like the size of a Spree candy.
Oh yeah.
And they would shoot. You could pull a trigger and they'd shoot out of the front of them, and they shot fast and hard, and I can't believe something like that. I mean, the Battlestar Galactica toy, yeah, you could choke on it.
Sure. Well, and I had
the other thing, you could dent some kid's head just like this thing.
I had a similar toy to what you're talking about, except mine wasn't a Star Trek thing. It was just a disc shooting gun, and it was this little, like you said, little hard plastic discs, and it would fire those sons of bitches at, you know, like 300 feet per second. And yeah, it could lodge in somebody's forehead if they weren't careful. You got them right on the soft spot or something.
Or nail them in the eye, or...
Yeah, take out an eye, get down, you know, lodge in the throat, sure. And I didn't, you know, it's not like I ever misused it.
Underachiever.
But I know, exactly. But moving on to number 7, and here's one that you mentioned already that you have some experience with, obviously way before my time, 1964, The Fright Factory.
Right, except that was still a few years before I was even born, but...
Still, though, you said that you played some with it, and just to set the scene, it came with an open-faced hot plate, which could reach 310 degrees, and, oh, by the way, the chemicals were toxic.
Right. I know that the one that we played with was at my grandmother's house. It probably belonged to one of my aunts or uncles and was passed down, and I don't...
And did they turn out okay?
Somewhat, but...
The fact that you had to think about that at all is awesome.
Well, it just depends on which kid it was that owned it. I don't know. But the goop that we had to put in it at that time was non-toxic, so they'd done away with the toxic goop. But it still was basically a hot plate, and it still cooked. I still can remember the smell of that stuff cooking.
Yeah, and that smell was, you know, just a quick trip from being your hand, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never got burned bad with it, so.
Never got burned bad?
No. Every once in a while you touch something that you shouldn't and it hurts and you stop.
I still do that in the kitchen on a regular basis. Ow!
Right.
So moving on to number 6, it's the Bat Masterson Derringer Belt Gun. And this is one of the... I'd like to go back in time so I could be a part of the marketing meeting that led to this toy, just to see the thought process. This was a belt buckle that had an integrated cap pistol. It seems that the pistol was fired by the wearer if they pushed out their stomach to put pressure on the back of the buckle.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of few things less stealthy than that. Hold still, you bastard. Just gyrating around trying to shoot your enemies with your crotch, and they got to be to your left to shoot them, and you'll shoot them right at ass level. And apparently, not only that, but the caps could also spontaneously combust if they were subject to overthrusting, too much friction, too much heat, or too much puberty, I would probably imagine. That's a nice way to learn a hard lesson: protect your nuts.
Yeah, but I would imagine some people built up quite a bit of muscle, you know, playing with their cap gun.
Olympic swimmers. What do you attribute to your success? My Bat Masterson Derringer belt gun.
You got here without Bat Masterson.
That's right. Learned to fire off 20 rounds in a single sitting.
gives a new
meaning to the term shooting blanks.
Indeed. Yeah, I never saw one of those. So.
Well, and I think this was probably before your time. It looks like it's something that was popular maybe in the 50s or 60s.
Right.
Back when life was cheap and, you know, a few burns here and there, so what? Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, back when there was no seatbelt laws. And...
Yeah, and seatbelts, you know, they were optional.
Right. If that.
And dashboards made of metal.
Right.
But number 5 is a toy from... A generation actually too recent for you or I to have played with them, but perhaps your kids. The Galoob Sky Dancer.
No, actually, I saw the danger in these to begin with and just never got them.
It's a girly girl toy with an unpredictable demeanor. It was kind of a Barbie dollish thing. It had foam wings, and it would launch off of a base and supposedly dance in the sky. But apparently what it ended up doing was it chased people through the house. And these were recalled in 2000 after roughly 150 children were injured by the seemingly harmless Sky Dancer. And they suffered everything from temporary blindness to busted ribs.
So I'm not buying that busted ribs thing.
Well, I'm thinking what happened probably is it chased somebody or came at somebody. They panicked, tripped, and fell on something and broke their ribs. But it's still the Sky Dancer's fault. Oh, Sky Dancer, you're so pretty. Oh, no!
Now, I did notice in the comments that some people say that these are still sold.
Well, I guess probably maybe you might be able to find them at flea markets.
No, I mean actually sold in stores, judging from the...
Well, they were recalled officially in 2000, so if they're back on the market, obviously they've either fixed what's wrong or they paid off the right people.
Right.
So these are probably like that second generation missile launcher that you had, kind of dumbed down, so they probably just jump like a couple inches. They've taken their vertical leap away.
Three pirouettes and fall over, so...
That's right. Yeah. If that. The French judge hates them. gives them a two.
Yeah.
But next up in the parade of dangerous playthings is number 4 on Radar Magazine's list, the Snack Time Cabbage Patch Doll. Now, back in the early 80s, I recall the initial craze that surrounded the original Cabbage Patch, although I never wanted one because I'm a boy. But this particular incarnation was released in 1996, and it had a motorized mouth that would eat tiny little foam items which it came with, but it didn't have a failsafe, which meant that it would also eat whatever your child stuck into its mouth. It would continue to gnaw until whatever it was no longer there.
Here, have some corn. Have the
That's
puppy.
Right. Have some corn, have a puppy, have the finger, have your hair. It would eat whatever it could get its hands on. It was nothing but a remorseless eating machine.
See, now this is like the prototype for an evil doll.
At the time, I mean, that was right around the time when the... Child's Play movies were still going strong at the box office, I guess as strong as those pieces of shit ever went at the box office, but that's like an inadvertent real-life evil Chucky doll, with the exception of the demonic voice, but I'm sure
it probably doesn't walk or anything.
Just choose, man. Just choose.
Yeah, just choose his way along the carpet.
But that's even more scary because it can corner you and just slowly advance, and you know what's coming.
So, yeah, I obviously never had one, and I don't know if my sister ever did when she was a kid. But...
Well, I would hope. I mean, well, then again, you did admit in a previous post on your blog that you had to wear girls' clothing just because there was a clothing shortage on in the Burton household.
Yeah, but that wasn't in 96.
Still playing with girls' toys in 1996.
Oh.
That was when you and I worked at the Gazette together. Maybe you did have a girly toy stashed away in your desk. I don't know.
No, I didn't. What desk? We didn't have desks. We were night shift. Only the day shift had desks.
I had a desk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was a big shot.
Yeah, look at you, Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah, that's right. And look how the mighty have fallen. Anyway, number 3, another toy that I'm not at all familiar with. It's the and it's not really a toy, in my opinion. It's the Easy Sales Mini Hammock, which apparently preyed on unsuspecting leisure-seeking children from 1984 all the way to 1995. Apparently, the manufacturer forgot to include spreader bars, which led to the hammock ensnaring and strangling dozens of its customers, and these little cocoons of death were eventually recalled in August of 1996.
Yeah.
If that's not the most insidious thing on the planet. Here, we got you this so you can relax. It's probably like for an ADD kid.
Well,
ends up killing him.
Just spinning him around.
Yeah!
You know?
Well, on the bright side, after that, they're just too exhausted to do anything else.
I'm just wondering at the picture that they have up at the top if that was at all any part of the packaging, because that thing is horrible.
Horrible. Well, it doesn't look like a whole lot of fun
or even leisurely.
No,
I'm not talking the photo. I'm talking about the drawing that's up above it. Are you looking at the site right now?
No, I'm not looking at the site. I'm looking at a printout here. Why don't you describe it for me and the kids listening?
It just basically looks like it was drawn by a kid, and man, it's just drawn badly.
Mm.
I don't know what else to say besides that.
Okay, well, moving on then. the number 2 toy on the list, and this one shocks me that it was ever actually produced, the Gilbert U-238 Atomic Energy Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was way before my time and way, way misguided. It was introduced in 1951 and actually came with 3 low-level radiation sources and 4 samples of uranium-bearing ores. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this is a painfully rare set. It was only sold for a year, and no data is apparently available regarding the almost certain ill effects that it caused, but I mean, is this really for the hardcore science geek that the Erector set is no longer a challenge? What is this?
Well, you got to remember, at the time that this came out, that was when atomic energy was the next big thing. And
right, it was the space age, and atomic energy was on the horizon, and we'd just use it to vaporize the Japanese. So,
exactly.
So why shouldn't every red-blooded American boy be learning all about the atomic energies?
And what kind of parent wouldn't get this for their child, to give them that step up? And,
that's right, the step up over those damn Ruskies, right?
Exactly.
Those damn commie kids.
That the children know how to irradiate things.
Yeah, while those damn commies are out in the potato fields, our kids are going to be in the lab working on new ways. What was that? What was that phrase that, what was that? It's technocracy. It was technocracy in action.
The worst thing I ever had was a chemistry set.
You know, I didn't even have that. It's not like I was deprived as a child, but there were a lot of toys that I looked at in the store and I knew that I don't even try to convince anybody that you need it. You're not getting it. Obviously, the one, you know, it's on both ends of the spectrum, from the metaphysical to the really science laden. I couldn't have a Ouija board and I couldn't have a chemistry set. I couldn't.
How about a combination of the two?
And that I don't know how you combine them, but if you could combine them, I still wouldn't have been allowed to have it. My parents.
You let the ghosts tell you what to mix.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, my parents, they bought me toys, but they were kind of like, okay, here's your toy. You know, we had like one set of Legos. I had one Star Wars toy. I had one Transformer.
Okay, wait. Which Star Wars toy did you have?
The Land Speeder. I didn't even
You didn't have anything to put in it?
I didn't even have anybody to put in it. I just had the Land Speeder. And I had one Transformer, and he happened to be the Transformer that the Decepticons had left behind on the space station and nobody talked to and never appeared in the cartoon. I had just one toy. You know those toys where you're supposed to collect the whole set? I had one. If I was lucky.
For you, that's the whole set, buddy.
Essentially, because it's not like my parents were depriving me. They just didn't get it. They're like, well, we got you a toy. We got you that toy you wanted. But there's more.
They would have been totally confounded by Pokemon.
Huh? Oh, man. Yeah, that would have been one of those I would have looked at and said, don't even bother because you're not getting it. I was lucky to have convinced my parents, because after my parents bought the Atari 2600 in the early 80s, they thought, well, that's good enough, you know. I was damn lucky to be able to convince my parents, both my sister and I were, to get the ColecoVision Atom. And then later on, when I was able to convince them that I desperately needed the Sega Master System for my birthday, I was damn lucky to have that. And that lasted me a long time. But I still had to do, you know, above and beyond chores to get games, you know, because that was just not their mentality. They're like, well, you have the game system. What more do you want? The game cartridges might be nice. So,
geez.
So that's a little snapshot of my childhood. One of everything, and only
of course,
one.
You know what? I couldn't imagine you with something like this anyway, because you did enough damage with just matches. Access to atomic energy.
Actually, access to atomic energy might have kept me busy enough to not do things like make dummies with big googly eyes and set them on the toilet with a magazine waiting for people to find them, which my mom, of course, eventually did. But finally, the number one worst toy ever, most dangerous toy ever, and we had this. This is one of the toys that we actually had, because it's not really a toy, in my opinion. It's sports equipment. And you probably already guessed, it's jarts. Lawn darts, bitches. These things were so big in the 80s. Then, of course, they were recalled in 1988. And, yes, we had a set. And now, didn't you have a run-in with them? Or you had a friend that did?
Well, I had a friend who had them. We never hurt ourselves with those. We hurt ourselves with regular darts, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I always forget that.
Because the big ones were too easy to dodge, so we had to switch to the little ones.
Okay. Yeah. See, for me, though, I have... And my family has done this, developed over generations, a very well-rounded sense of self-preservation. Also, I can read, and my comprehension doesn't suffer, so I always followed the rules. I never misused the jarts because they're fucking dangerous. And, you know, it's amazing that we have to seem to babysit the American public. It's like, okay, we'll sell you the knife, but if you cut yourself, nobody can have them anymore. Just don't stand under the goddamn jart! How hard was that for people to figure out?
See, but I think the ones that were killed were, like, really small children who just happened to wander onto the field where the jarts were falling. I don't think it was a case of people actually throwing them at each other.
Unsupervised children who should have perhaps been under the supervision of an adult?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I don't know if it's players themselves hurting them. each other or anything.
Innocent yeah. bystanders.
Yeah, exactly. oh, yeah, that reminds me. One of the games we used to play was throw the jart over the roof and try to guess where it would land.
In the mailman.
No, it was usually from the front yard.
In the neighbor's dog. We used to play a much more tame version of that game with a playground ball called Annie Annie Over. And
well, that's where we started with stuff like that. But then it's like, ooh, jarts fly far.
And you say, I can't have the Gilbert Youth 238 Atomic Energy Lab. Anything
right.
in your hands because it becomes an instrument of death.
You said I was an underachiever, and here you are now saying that I'm like this harbinger of death. That's just hilarious.
From what you've said, yes, you are.
I killed nothing.
that you'll own up to. The statute of limitations is probably expired. You can own up to it now.
No, I killed nothing. Nothing. Although I did...
the principle of no permanent damage.
Yeah. I did have a old BB gun that I had found that wouldn't BBs anymore. The barrel part was stripped out. And I would fill and shoot it at a kid. Like, but... You still there?
You know, for whatever reason, we had like a dropout. And so we missed what you would load it with.
Puppies.
What?
I said puppies. No, I would load.
You'd load it with
puppies.
You'd load it with puppies?
No, I'd load it with dirt. Like I would shove it down into the ground, get a good clod of dirt in there, and
shoot it at your puppy.
No, shoot it at a kid I didn't like. One of the neighborhood kids that would get on my nerves. And I only did that like a few times. But he stopped bothering me.
Well, you anyway. Start shooting at him, yeah.
Well, I shot you in the eye with a rubber band. You still bother me.
You shot me in both eyes. And that's a top. And that's
and
a topic that we will get to on another episode of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Mark my words. The rubber band war will come up. But for today, we were talking about Colin's budding porn career and also the most dangerous toys ever according to Radar Magazine. You can find all the information at radarmagazine.com. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. You've been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With me, joining me from his palatial estate on the east side of town, from fizzleandpop.com, Colin Burton.
Goodbye, everyone.
And as always, thanks for listening. We'll see you back again next Wednesday.